On the daytime was minus 29, at night it was minus 40, which is, you just walk outside fully dressed and feel like you're naked, it's that cold, you know, you just feel like, might as well not bother with clothes. Well, actually I did bother with clothes, just you'll be pleased to. We're in the moment in a series called The Disciple, and you know, the word disciple today, is, you know, it gives you images of shaved heads and eating lentils and yoga. Is that kind of confused image of what a disciple is? But it's actually a foundational word for Christians. It's so key. It's someone who's learning to live life like Jesus. It's someone who's being transformed into the image of Christ. That's what it means to be a disciple. And you know, we all come from different backgrounds, different nationalities even, but we've all got one thing in common. You were born. Anyone here not born? You were born. You know, there's never a word of knowledge, is there? Someone here is born. You know, you're just everyone was born. And do you remember being born? Anyone remember being born? Well, one of my kids is convinced that he remembers being born. It was a water birth, which I think he's heard, and he's like, yeah, I remember swimming out. I remember swimming towards the light. He's convinced about it. He's like, I swam to the light. I was a good swimmer, and I swam straight out to the light. And he says, and I remember the yellow shirt you were wearing. I was like, I was not wearing a yellow shirt. There are some evidence of that, but I destroyed all the photos. I was definitely not wearing a yellow shirt. There was a yellow blanket. So he's absolutely adamant that he can remember being born. And the reality is that we were all born, and there was another event. With all our differences, there is another event that we will all experience, and this is it. This is this. One day, we will all stand before Jesus and give an account for our lives. That made you go quiet, didn't it? We were all born, and we may have nothing else in common, but the one other thing that we all will have in common is that every single human being will one day stand before Jesus, the Jesus we were singing about today, stand before Jesus and give an account for our lives. I was listening to someone who was talking about parenting, and they were asked, what's the most important thing about being a parent? You know, what's the most important thing you can impart to your kids? He said, well, there's lots of important things. He said, but I think there's one thing that I think a lot of parents miss. It's this. They fail to explain and give their kids an understanding that they will one day have to give an account for their lives. It made me think as a parent, actually, if I underline that, because actually there's a whole framework for life that comes out of that place. If you realize that one day you will stand before Christ and give an account for your life. And reality is, some people don't believe that's going to happen. They don't. But you may have been here, sitting here this morning. You might think, I don't believe that's going to happen. I'm telling you, you are going to get the shock of your life when one day you do stand before this Jesus that we were singing about and have to give an account for your life. That's what the Bible says will happen to each one of us. And you couldn't do anything about your birth. You know, who packed for their birth? I mean, I just wasn't ready. You know, you can't do anything to get ready for your birth. But there is a lot you can do to get ready for that day. There is a lot you can do to prepare for that day. And that's what I want to talk today about, a fruitful life. Because God is wanting, on that day, what will be looked at is the fruit of your life. You were given a certain amount of years. Some people were given a short number. Some people are given a long number. But we're all given a certain amount. And God is looking for the fruit of that life, a fruitful life. That's what he is looking for in that day. That's what Jesus will be looking for. And God is doing it. You know, he is on the move. I was talking with these guys as we met as a different teams from serving across the Russian-speaking world. There's a guy there from one of the stans. I'll call him Russell because, again, it's illegal to be a Christian in his nation. And his nation is a warlord-driven nation. So it's just total anarchy. He says, you go to the supermarket and you've got bread, milk, cornflakes, ammunition, soup. That's what the aisle in the supermarket looks like. He says you go to a wedding and they don't do fireworks. At the end of the wedding, when they want to celebrate the bride and groom, they all get out their automatic weapons and fire them into the air. And people die regularly at weddings, he said, because the bullets come down and people just get hit and die. He said, that's just what our culture is like. No one stops it. No one even complains. That's just, life is cheap. That's just what it's like. And so last wedding you went, someone actually got shot. No, it doesn't happen over here, does it? And someone's put a hand on their back. I'm not interested. But the reality is, he said, even in the midst of that chaos, he said, God is building his church. Even in the midst of it, he is bearing fruit in that chaos. He said, we had this guy in our town. He was an Islamic terrorist, and he decided to build a bomb because he was on jihad. So he decided to build a bomb. So he built a bomb. It blew up, but nobody died. And he was gutted that he hadn't killed anybody. So he went and bought a sniper rifle, put himself on a high building and just started to take pot shots at people, trying to kill people just because that's what he thought he should do. He couldn't kill anyone. And he started to question his faith. And he said, well, if God is God and he's called me to this jihad, why am I not able to kill anybody? You know, he started to, you know, last time you heard that at an Alpha course, you know, I've been trying to kill people, I just can't do it. I'm starting to question whether God exists or not. So he's like, he's questioning his faith because of this. And so that his wife had severe spiritual oppression. They knew that she was oppressed spiritually. And so they went to all the specialists to try and help her get set free, and no one could help her. So what they did, he said, was they went on Google. They've got automatic weapons and Google. This is, you got the picture. So they went on Google, they began to look, who can help people who are spiritually oppressed get free? And they realized it was only the Pentecostals who actually claimed to be able to do this. They thought, well, I wonder if we've got a Pentecostal church in our town. So they began to ask around and realized that they did have an underground Pentecostal church in their town, which was my friend's church, Russell's church. And so this guy brings his wife along and says, can you set her free? It says on Google that you kind of people can set her free. And he's telling me the story. He's like, I don't know, she could have been strapped with a suicide vest. I didn't know what was going on. I've never done prayer for anyone in such a setting as this. So he's like, so he prays for the guy, prays for her. She gets totally set free, healed of a physical condition. Both of them give their lives to Christ. And they're now part of their church, leading a small group of them in their church. I just love that. I love that story of God in the chaos. He's doing stuff. He is bearing fruit and doing things. And so I want to look today at a fruitful life. And Jesus tells a parable. He tells us a parable of a farmer. And this farmer, he says, is sowing seed. And the seed, he says, falls on different types of ground. Some falls on the path and the birds come and eat it up. Some falls on the rocky ground, but it starts to grow, but it can't get its roots in. It doesn't bear any fruit because it's got no roots. Some, he says, there's weeds that grow up around that. There's weedy, kind of thorny ground, the weeds, and they choke the seed. They choke the life out of the plant before it can bear any fruit. He says, but some falls on good soil. And that seed, he says, produces a harvest, 10, 20, 40, 100, 60 times what was sown. And his disciples come to him afterwards and say, that was a great story, Jesus. Brilliant story. We haven't got a clue what you're talking about. Really, really good story. So he explains this story. And let's just read it together in Mark 4. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? There's something in this story. This parable is just a word for a story with a meaning. There's something in this story that actually helps you explain all of Jesus' teaching. This is a significant story. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones who are along the path where the word was sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that's sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear, immediately receive it with joy. They've got no root, but endure for a while. And then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others, the ones sown among thorns, they're the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things enters in. It chokes the word and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. You know, one of the things that you've got to remember from this passage is, as we look at this passage together in terms of the framework of a fruitful life, one of the things we have to remember is this, that Jesus was the one who also said, abide in me, live in me, let my words abide in you, and you will bear much fruit. So the danger can be that we can look at this and think, I'm not bearing fruit, I'm not bearing enough. Turn to the person next to you and just say, I'm worried I'm not bearing enough fruit. Because you are, some of you already, you've got that look on your face. Some of you aren't worried. Okay, well, great, you can talk to me about it afterwards. But the reality is that we have to start from a foundation of recognizing that we are the branches and he is the vine, and we bear fruit by staying united with him. Yeah, is that good? So our connection with Christ is the thing that bears fruit in our lives. But Paul, the apostle, writes this. He says, I worked harder than everyone else. But he said, but not me, but the power of God that was at work in me. So there's this divine tension, as it were, of fruit bearing comes both from being united with Christ, from being part of the vine, from being a branch, as it were. You know, there's no tree out there, apple tree, that's going to bear apples this summer that's sitting there, you know, straining right now. You know, I've just got to push out an apple, you know. It just doesn't work like that, does it? Trees bear fruit by just Being trees, that's what they do. And we bear fruit by just being in Christ. That's what we do. But at the same time, that's not the end of the story. It's not just, you know, lay back and grab a cocktail and just wait for the end. There is a reality of our partnership in this thing. Both are true and emphasized. And so we need to look at this through that lens and also recognize this is not just about us, but also those that we are helping. Jesus said this. He said, "You will make disciples. Go and make disciples." Are you making disciples? Because that's what Jesus called us to do. So as we look at this, we have to look through the lens not only of our own lives, but also those that we're that we're working with, and those that we're helping along the journey, because we are a community together. How do we bear more fruit? How do we bear more fruit? How do we live fruitful lives? Because I don't know about you, but I want a church that bears much, much fruit. Anyone else with me? Anyone else with me? You're very passive here. Come on. I want to be part of lives and in groups that bear much, much fruit. And I want to know what Jesus got to say about this thing. So the first thing is this. There's three areas of fruit in our lives, and we've looked at this already, but just a summary in this series. Three areas. Paul writes to the Colossians. He says, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you as a church, he says. I'm praying for you, he says, that you'll bear fruit in every good work. That's the out part of our calling. We are called to bear fruit out in the world. We're called to bear fruit in the lives around us. We're called to bear fruit in other people's lives. Paul's saying, I pray that you bear fruit in every good work. This is part of the fruit that we're to bear. Secondly, he says, I pray that you bear fruit in the knowledge of God, increasing in the knowledge of God. That's the up part. It's about bearing fruit in connection with God. It's about our prayer and our worship, our growing relationship. The fruit that God is looking for is not just out in the world, but it's also in a fruit of a relationship that's growing deeper in intimacy with him. And then he says, I pray that you bear fruit, that you'll be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience and joy, giving thanks. That's the in part of bearing fruit. So he says, I'm praying that you bear fruit in these three ways, in the up, your connection with God, in the in, your character, and in the out, in your calling. The Christian life is about bearing fruit in each of those different ways. And the problem is, if you've got up and out but no in, you tend to blow up. If you got up and out but no in, you tend to blow up. I heard a story even this week, just another tragic story. A pastor who's leading a good church, and he decides that he's going to leave his wife of 20, 30 years, leave his kids, leave his church, and he's had an affair with a 29-year-old, and he went back to his wife for a bit, and now he's left her for good, and he's gone to live with his 29-year-old. And he said, when challenged on it, why? How do you get to this place? He said, you know what? I've lived my whole life serving others. She makes me happy. Ugh. How do I avoid becoming that guy? How do I avoid becoming that guy? How do you avoid becoming that person? How do we avoid becoming that statistic that is everywhere? It's about the in. It's got to be about the in. It's got to be the growth in character, so that we have not got a mind frame that says, I'm serving everyone else, but I just need to be happy. I just need to do whatever makes me happy. If you've got that foundation in your life, you are going to end up in a shipwreck. It's about the in. It's about the transformation of the inside. So if you've got up and out, but no in, you're going to blow up potentially. If you've got up and in, but no out, you're going to bust up. You know, the out is the adventure. It's where you see people's lives change. It's where you see God break in. If you've got no out, what happens in communities that have no out, they've just got up and in, they've got no out, what happens is ultimately they end up fighting each other. Because they just get bored, and so they just start picking on each other. And they just start, you know, that communities that have got up and in, but no out, just end up ultimately tearing each other apart, because there's no adventure, there's no sense of life. And then thirdly, if you've got in and out, but no up, you dry up. It leads to a disconnect. It leads to a loss of purpose. It leads to a loss of joy. And so the first understanding of fruitfulness, a fruitful life, is a life that bears fruit in each one of these areas. It's not just one or the other. It's saying, God, I want a life that bears fruit in every single one of these areas. I want to connect to the vine and bear fruit in the up, in my connection with you, in the in, my growth in character, in the out, my linking with others. Why don't you just turn to the person next to you just for a moment? And out of those three, tendencies, blow up, bust up, or the third, where's my notes gone? drive, blow up, bust up, or dry up. Turn to the person next to you and say, which one of those would be a danger for you? Okay? Turn to the person next to you. Which one of those would be a danger for you? So just a little quick straw poll. Who was blow up? The temptation to blow up. Who was bust up? Who was dry up? That's interesting. So key, isn't it, that we bear this in mind. And you know what? The real stuff of discipleship happens not here on a Sunday. It's when we one to another sit down in small groups and say, let's talk this through, let's talk about your up, your in, your out, let's make sure that we are bearing fruit in every one of these things so that we don't become that statistic. And the second thing is this: what stops then people bearing fruit? For those that you're working with, for those that you're just, if we're called to make disciples, it's critical that we understand, well then, what stops me bearing fruit? What stops other people bearing fruit? And Jesus gives a few keys in this parable he tells. The first thing, the first picture is, he says there's a seed that falls on the path. A seed that falls on the path, he says, and when that seed falls on the path, he says, the birds of the air, the crows or the equivalent, come and just steal that seed. His disciples say, what does it mean? He says, well, the enemy comes. In Luke's account of the same story, he says it's because they lack understanding. The seed doesn't penetrate because of a lack of understanding. And the lack of fruit often comes from a lack of understanding. We are not fruitful, or people who are coming to faith in Christ are not fruitful because of a lack of understanding. They just don't get it, or we just don't get it. Have you understood this call? And you know what? If you're not a follower of Christ here this morning, the first thing for you is to understand what on earth we're talking about, to take some time to dig into this. You know, Christians are told to be ready to give a reason for their faith. Make them earn their money. Make them earn their money. Ask them questions. Dig in. I remember the first time I met Steve Wilson, I think it was the second time. It was after an Alpha course. We were in one of the pubs in town, and we were sitting at a table after the talk, and he hammered me with questions. Hammered me with questions again and again and again. He's asking question after question. And I can still remember sitting at that table thinking, grief, this guy's got a lot of questions. And he had loads of questions, but it's borne much fruit in his life. Because he really understood what he was signing up for. He really understood. And this sense of understanding is so, so key. But the second thing is, in the lives of Christians, have we understood what we're made to be? Have we understood that when Jesus said, go and make disciples, that was the call on our lives? It wasn't an optional extra. That was the understanding that he had for us, that we were to go and with his power, yes, with his life, connected to him. It's not just us striving and working very hard. It's his life flowing through us. But we were to be intentional, as it were, to go and make disciples. Turn to the person next to you and say, go and make disciples. Do you get it? Go and make disciples. That is our understanding. And it's different for each one of us, but we have to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. That is the unstoppable force that will change this planet. It's making disciples who can make disciples. Have we got it into our heads? Because this is so, so key. The year before last, I was writing a book. It's going to look different for everyone. Here's my story. I was writing this book, and I sweated bullets over this thing. And I'd got a B in English, you know. I mean, I didn't really care about colons and full. Oh, who cares? Who cares about all that stuff? I tell you what, I went through every full stop, every colon, every question mark, every capital letter. I sent it to the editors, and they were like, "What is this?" Sent it back, have another go. You know, it's like sweated over this thing up till midnight, up again at six, sweating over this thing. You know, by the end of it, if you said semicolon to me, I got like a nervous twitch. I was like, I knew more about semicolons than any human should possibly know about semicolons by the time I finished. But do you know what? Right the way through the whole thing, the Holy Spirit was whispering to me. He was saying, Simon, this is going to change many people's lives. This is going to change many people's lives. This is going to change many people's lives. Have you got that whisper through everything that you're doing? Go and make disciples. Have you got that understanding? And have you got that whisper in your heart through everything that you're doing? The second thing is this, a lack of root. When it comes to faith in those who come to faith in Christ, but they don't last. He says, trouble or persecution comes and they fall away. And you know, the reality is so often it's a lack of root actually. It's a lack of digging in deep that caused people not to bear fruit. It's so critical that we are founded ourselves because, do you know what? It's in the difficult times, it's in the tough times that often the most fruit is born. And if it's that's the time that causes us to fall away, we've missed the biggest opportunity actually to bear fruit. It's going to be out of those times, I believe, as we stand before Christ, that we will see much of the fruit of our lives. It's when we stood firm, when things were tough, when things were difficult, when it wasn't going how we expected to go. Steve was telling me, he was chatting to a lady, I think she came to Christ last year, and she'd been through some tough times and difficult times. And he was saying, how are you doing? And she said, do you know what? She said, it's tough, but I'm doing okay. She said, the first Sunday I came to King's Arms, someone was saying, the Christian life is not a cruise ship, it's a battleship. It's not a cruise ship, it's a battleship. And she said, I remembered that picture. And she said, it stayed with me right the way through. She didn't sign up for a cruise ship, but so many sign up for a cruise ship. And in our discipleship, we have to help people realize, we have to realize ourselves, this was never intended to be a cruise ship. This is a battleship, and sometimes it gets bloody. And if we're going to bear people, if we're going to carry people through to bear fruit, if we're going to bear fruit ourselves, it's critical that we get these roots in. And thirdly, it's a lack of focus. What does Jesus say? He says, the seed goes in, but the thorns come up and choke it. What chokes it? What chokes it in Jesus' picture? It's the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things. They enter in and choke the word. Some people hear the good news of Jesus. They understand it. They've got it. They go through troubles. They've got it. But when what takes them off course, what causes fruitlessness in their lives is just the stuff of life. It's just the stuff that comes into the lives. It's that stuff that chokes and blocks and holds the word back from bearing fruit. And I believe, and it happens to those who are coming through to faith in Christ, but it also happens to believers. Anyone feel that temptation, that tendency to just get choked with just the stuff of life? And the reality is the Lord is saying in this life, as we have a razor-like focus, as we say, you know, my aim is to bear fruit, and part of that bear fruit is in the lives of others and parts in my own life. As we keep that focus, we realize that's what life is about. We will bear much fruit and we won't get distracted. So just take a moment to just reflect on those three areas. I just thought it'd be great to just pray. If you feel like one of those areas is causing a lack of fruit in your life, lack of understanding, a lack of root, or a lack of focus, you think, do you know what? I can see that fruitlessness in part or the whole of my life or part of my life is coming through one of those. Why don't you just stand very quickly? And I just want us to pray. Just take a moment just to stand. For me, I'd be standing for lack of focus. It's so easy sometimes just to get focused on the other stuff. Thank you, God. Just take a moment to stand wherever you are. Thank you, Jesus. If there's someone standing with you, near you, just put a hand on a shoulder. And we, you know, I'm standing with you. And the Lord says, as we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to wash us from all unrighteousness. And I thank you, Jesus, that you've come. That this isn't about us striving and working hard, but us staying hooked into the vine. Into your life. And where we've lacked focus, where we've lost our way because of a lack of perseverance, where even we've just missed our inner understanding, I just pray, God, right now for each one of us, that for a transformation from this moment. And the Lord would say to you, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. In whatever that looks like for you, go and make disciples. In whatever that looks like, in whatever way that He's calling you to, go and make disciples. Take a fresh commission this morning. Take a fresh calling this morning. to go and make disciples of all nations, from every different type and tribe and language. Go and make disciples. Thank you, Father. I pray, shake off of us, Lord, a lack of focus. Shake off of us, God, where we've lost our way, Lord, through a lack of root. We just pray, come, Holy Spirit, right now. Let there be fresh fruit bearing. Even this week, let there be fresh fruit in our lives, in our connection with you, in our character transformation. This is for you, Patrick. Go and make disciples. Go and bear fruit. This is for you, Gary. Go and make disciples. Go and bear fruit. Thank you, Father. This is for you, Justin. Go and bear fruit. Go and bear fruit that will last. Go and change people's lives. This is I just feel there's a fresh commissioning from God, even in this moment. A fresh commissioning. Some of you had it in the past, but you, and I would say that there's just some things have come in and choked it. Just choked that razor-like focus you used to have. Well, there's a cutting back of the weeds right now. Change people's lives as they come into relationship with Christ. Thank you, God. Just the guy in the red shirt here in the middle block. Just feel the Lord really is on you today. He's on you. He's called you for this moment because you are going to bear much fruit. In your generation, you're going to change many people's lives. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Wow, just receive the favor of God. This isn't about working hard. This is about a fresh connection with Him. Let His life flow through you. When you stand before Him on that day, all of your mistakes, all of my mistakes, all of my failings will be covered by His blood. We will step into eternity by grace. Thank you, God. Amen. Take your seats for a moment. We'll just land very quickly. So the last thing, and you'll just have a very truncated version right now. And if you want to hear the full version, hopefully I'll have more time in the next meeting. But the big question then is, where does God want me to bear fruit? You know, the up is relatively straightforward in terms of I just got to keep that connection going. The in, well, it just happens on the road, doesn't it? There's plenty of opportunities to grow on the inside in my character to grow. But the out is sometimes a question. There are just so many opportunities. There are so many different directions I could go. Where do I go? And that's why we developed this tool, this down symbol, to turn down the volume and listen to what God is saying. And just very quickly, what does it stand for? And this is something you can talk with one-on-one if you're married with your spouse in a small group setting, in a missional community setting. You can talk through this to wrestle through, okay, what is God calling to? Where does He want me to bear fruit? If He is the vine and I'm the branch, where does He want me to bear fruit? Well, this little acronym, Dan, will help you, I think. Firstly, directional prophecies. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. He is speaking to you. He's the word of God. He just can't help himself. So He is speaking to you and He is calling. And there'll be some words that you've got in your life, and sometimes that's in the moment, sometimes that's in the kind of the instantaneous. There was a guy just last year, I think, he was in the car park and he started smelling donuts in his car, and he's like, that's the strange. And then goes into the town centre and smelt them again, and walked past the, ultimately was walking around, just it's the strangest thing, and then walked past the donut store, and suddenly a song comes to mind. And the song comes to mind, it's this, I'm not alone. So he just goes up to the person who's in the donut store and says, I've got this song, I'm not alone. Does it mean anything to you? And she just broke down and said, I totally feel alone right now. So sometimes it's the directional prophecies is the now moment. And sometimes it's the lifelong. It's the call of God on your life. You look at the Apostle Paul. God knocks him off his horse. Jesus knocks him off his horse and says, you're going to be a messenger for me to the Gentiles. You are going to speak before kings on my behalf. So sometimes it's the life thrust, and sometimes it's the now moment. It's the directional word that's so key. Secondly, it's the opportunities. The opportunities that we have around us. We've got to start seeing every difficulty as an opportunity, because it's often in the difficulties that opportunities break out. It's opening our eyes we have, because God gives us so many opportunities. What opportunities has He given you to bear fruit? And sometimes it's the stop. I've told the story before. I went to town to London with Caroline for a day out, and as we were there, we had a great day together. And we came home and we got back. And she said, "Would you enjoy the day?" I said, "I loved having the day with you. It was so good." The only sad thing is we didn't get any opportunity to share Christ, to pray with anyone. It just wasn't any opportunity. She's like, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, I just didn't see any." She said, "I saw 5. I was like, "Where?" Well, she said, "Well, there was the couple on the way up on the train." I mean, that was obvious. You know, we were in conversation. There was just no problem. Then there was a couple at lunch. There was that other guy where we met. She said, there was even the guy in the market. Do you remember the guy? We bumped into him. You got 20,000 people in Borough Market. We bumped into him twice in different parts. And even he said to us, "This is a really strange coincidence. I bumped into you twice." She said, "That wasn't an opportunity. She said, "I wasn't really focused on it because I just wanted to be with you for the day." I was like, something is, it's just about opening our eyes. It's just about two people, one person praying for an opportunity, another like, "Well, I see them." The reality is, it's about opening our eyes. What are the opportunities? Thirdly, what do you want to do? You know, what's God put on your heart? What's your desire? Paul had this desire to preach the gospel in Rome. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? What's your desire? Now, we've got to be careful because ambition is mentioned 7 times in the New Testament. 6 times is mixed with the word selfish. But once, it's not. And it's when Paul says, "My ambition is to preach the gospel in regions beyond." So when ambition is linked with kingdom activity, it's usually not selfish. So we have to be aware of that. But what do you want to do? What's your desire? What's on your dreams? That often is the way God speaks. And then lastly, what's your natural gifts? What has God gifted you in? These 4 things are just a great framework for a conversation to say, where's God calling you to bear fruit? What's on your life? Because he is going to stand before you one day, and he has put within you the seeds of great fruitfulness. It's not a pressure. It's not a stress. If you mix this with stress and anxiety, it will produce nothing but death. But if you mix it with faith, and recognize that Christ is looking forward to that day when he stands before you. Not so that he can beat you over the head with a stick and all the areas you failed, but so he can celebrate with you in all the areas that you bore fruit and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I believe he will say that to every genuine believer. There'll be areas of regret which will be covered by his blood, but he is wanting to every believer to be able to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I'm looking forward to that day when I see him face to face, and I want to bring with me as much fruit as I possibly can. Should we just stand and pray? Thank you, Father. Sorry, we're now over time a little bit. Lord God, just put a hand on the shoulder of someone next to you and just pray this in. Prophesy over them. You are going to bear much fruit. Some of this is going to lead to other conversations. You need to follow this through. But just for now, mix this with the faith. You are going to bear much fruit. You are not going to be one of those statistics. You are going to bear much fruit in your life. You're going to see lives change and people transformed. You're going to bear much fruit. I want to stand with you and believe with you for much fruit, for many. Much fruit in your relationship with Jesus, you're up. Much fruit on your character transformation, you're in. Much fruit out and about. I want to stand with you. I want to walk with you. I want to see you bear much fruit. We just pray for this, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God.